You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, hey, we're Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys. I'm Veronica Daschle.
I'm Elaine Swetman.
And I'm Charles Kelso.
And we're too busy monkeying around to put anybody down. Welcome back to Monkeying Around. This week, we are talking to monkeys fan Kit Frischella. But first, Chuck, what's happening in the world of the monkeys?
Well, Mickey Dolenz is appearing in a movie.
Ooh, that's exciting.
I know. And as we're recording, it just came out on Deadline today that Mickey is part of the cast of the film The Zombie Wedding.
Ooh.
Yeah, sounds like a scary, hard-hitting movie.
It goes along with a lot of the conventions he's been going to recently as well.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. I mean, I don't know this, but I wonder if he made connections out there.
Yeah.
But is this a Deadline exclusive? Freestyle Digital Media, the digital film distribution division of Byron Allen's Allen Media Group, has acquired North American rights to the romantic comedy The Zombie Wedding. The film is based on the eponymous interactive play and is the first title to launch the Weekly World News IP-driven studio slate of movie projects. Freestyle Digital Media is planning a fall 2024 release date.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Zombie Wedding features a large ensemble cast that includes Sherry O'Terry of Saturday Night Live, Seth Gilliam of The Walking Dead, Heather Matizzaro of Scream and Princess Diaries, Kevin Chamberlain of Jesse, Vincent Pastore of The Sopranos, AJ Naidoo of Office Space, and Mickey Dolenz of The Monkees, among Woo-hoo. Others.
Yay.
Yeah, so that's fun. We've got a movie coming up with Mickey Dolenz in it, and it looks like you can see a picture of him on the poster here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mickey Dolenz in his little zombie outfit. So, yeah, that should be fun. I mean, it's always fun. Mickey, well, occasionally you'll see him pop up in movies in small roles. We don't get him really in the big feature roles these days.
No. He was in one of those, like, Sharknado-type movies a few years back.
Right.
And it had, I think it was the one that had Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. And so, yeah, we watched it. Boy, it was bad cheesy, but it was fun bad cheesy. So, I wonder if this is along that same kind of vein where it's like the really bad cheesy horror movie that has all the famous people in it kind of thing, but it's zombies instead of sharks and alligators and stuff like that.
Well, the poster has a small image of Bat Boy. Remember the Bat Boy?
Yes. Because my stepmother used to get those. Yes.
So I think there's a good chance this will be cheesy.
Good.
But deliberately so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's exciting that Mickey Dolenz is on the poster. He's in the cast list on Deadline. So it's not, I don't think it's a walk-on part where he's just playing like the gun owner, the guy visits. You know, he's got a part in the film. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Also, he's in a new movie. So that means more conventions. And hey, look, here's another entry that he can go and come and do Dragon Con.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure Dragon Con will be grabbing the cast of The Zombie Wedding.
Absolutely.
Hopefully. Yeah, so what we need to do is just cosplay as Mickey Dolenz's character in The Zombie Wedding at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We could do that, yes.
Absolutely.
You could do a puppet of it, too.
True. Yeah.
We keep meaning to do Mickey Puppet.
Yeah. And that's what's happening in the world of the monkeys.
All right, we're going to take a quick break to promote our fellow ESO Network podcast show. And when we come back, we're going to need to be talking with Kit. So stay right there.
What you gonna do, brothers and sisters, when thousands of geeky fans descend on Atlanta for 5 days and nights of the grandest con of them all? You can prepare by training, eating your vitamins, saying your prayers, and checking out the Dragon Con report each and every month leading up to the show. Watch or listen and let Dragon Con mania run wild on you!
Welcome back to Monkeying Around. This week, we are joined by Kit Frischella, or the Sunny Girlfriend, illustrator, designer, media enthusiast, animator, photographer, and groovy girl. Welcome, Kit.
Hi, how are you?
Fabulous. So you are currently still in college, and you have been doing all kinds of awesome drawings and stickers and buttons and like everything of the monkeys. So what got you into the monkeys originally?
I've been a fan for about 6 years now.
Wow.
And well, you know, I've always been raised in a household that likes old music. You know, my mom grew up in the 60s. She brought me up on bands like the Beach Boys and the Raiders and the Beatles and stuff like that. So it was natural for me to get into the Monkees. But I wasn't a childhood fan. I became more of a fan later when I guess I was coming home from college one day. It was one of my first years of college. And I heard them on the radio and I'm like, they sound awfully familiar because I remember watching it as a kid.
Right.
And my mom's like, it's Monkees. Don't you know them? And I'm like, they sound awfully familiar. And then I started going home and then I started looking at more of them. And then it just became an obsession.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
It's my life now.
It's strange how infectious it is, but also how it passes down from generation to generation. You spend a lot of your, you got a Monkees wall behind you.
Oh, I got three Monkees walls.
Nice.
It became addicting.
You're in school now. What are you in school for?
I've been going to college for the last couple years for animation illustration. I went to community college for a degree in film and TV production.
Okay.
And my aspiration in life is to make animated shows or comics. And one of my main, because I'm going into my senior thesis next semester, which is our big giant project before we graduate from the university, is I've been working on a Monkees cartoon series for the last 6 years.
That's awesome.
I've written a couple hundred episodes.
Wow.
And,
I've, you know, made all different kinds of characters and stuff. And my professors love it. They think there's excellent potential behind it. And it's interesting because not a lot of students are very familiar on what it is, but I'm the voice of the Monkees for the college. And it's funny because a lot of my professors who are older, they know it and they're like, wow, you know, this is really great. You know, these character designs are excellent. I love these characters. The villains that you've created are so cool and everything. So I remember my one professor, he's worked in the animation industry for about 45 years. And he said, I'm a huge giant fan. And he said, I would love to see this, you know, be picked up. He said, you've been working on it for 6 years, you know, nonstop. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So what is it about the Monkees that inspires you to spend 6 years working on a cartoon version of them?
Well, it's interesting because when I was younger, I grew up watching Boomerang, and I've always liked Hanna-Barbera cartoons. And me as an artist, I'm always open-minded to everything, you know? And I think one of the very first episodes that I wrote by myself was I'm sure you guys are familiar with the episode. It's the Alias Mickey Dolenz episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I liked Babyface Morales so much that when I was watching the original series, I'm like, oh, man, it's a little bit of a shame that he didn't come back and get his revenge. So I went, I'm going to write that. and then after that, you know, it started becoming, you know, I started world building and character building and, making their universe, because you don't really know too much about their universe in the TV show.
Right.
So I started structuring their world and looking at real pictures of California back in the 60s and structuring what their whole city would look like. You know, is there shops? What stores would they go to? Where do they hang out? Is there a malt shop that they go to? So, you know, it's pretty much the in-depth version of the TV show. And occasionally I pull things from, you know, from my cartoon series, I pull things from the actual episodes or real events, and I base the whole episode off of it.
That's amazing.
Wow.
It's very, very fun. And one of our projects that we're doing for our final, I'm taking a class right now called Character Design and TV Animation. And one of our final projects for my class this semester is a pitch Bible. And we're going to be showing that to some executives as our senior thesis. So the Monkees is obviously my choice of my pitch Bible. Yeah. And I've been working on it for quite some time. And I'm very pleased with my work. It's such a fun aspiration.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've seen a lot of your artwork on Facebook. You're very cute art style.
Thank you.
And you capture the likenesses of the characters very well.
Thank you.
We're looking at some of them before we logged on, and you can instantly tell which characters is supposed to be whom. And even when it's a character out from outside the Monkees, like Mark Lindsay will show up, and it's very identifiable as being Mark Lindsay.
Do you know the reason why I added them in the cartoon universe? Is because one of my favorite Monkees episodes has Burgess Meredith as the Penguin in it.
Right.
And since when I was younger, the Raiders were in a episode with the Penguin as Burgess Meredith. That's so true. My dad and I think that, you know, their universes connect with each other. And I decided to make the Raiders as the rival band.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So they start out as bad guys, but soon later in the series, they become, you know, friends
of
with
course.
Each other.
Yeah.
Kind
yeah,
of like
yeah.
the Jolly yeah. Green Giants.
Yeah.
And of all 60s bands, I think the Raiders would fit in really well in a Monkees episode. Yeah. Because when you see other bands in the Monkees, it's like the Jolly Green Giants. And they have similar sort of themes. And I think the Raiders with their, you know, Revolutionary War outfits would fit in very well.
Well, they did romps too, you know, they did all the silly looking, you know, music videos. So they fit in perfectly. It kind of saddens me that they never did a crossover. There was so much potential.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But you know, I'm like, okay, you know what? That can be in the cartoon series.
Absolutely right.
I haven't really, you know, I haven't posted it yet, but I did a Batman one too.
Ooh, oh, cool.
Okay.
And a Green Hornet one too.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So, so much potential were for crossovers back then.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
So were you a fan of other 60s TV shows before the Monkees, or did the Monkees lead you to watching more?
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I watched TV Land. My mom always had Little House on the Prairie on. When I was younger, I watched Gilligan's Island. I'm a huge fan of Get Smart.
Okay.
I like every single 60s sitcom you possibly can think of. But a lot of inspiration also comes, as you can see from my work, I also like I Dream of Jeannie for like, you know, the aesthetic and outfits and stuff.
Right.
So I'm into everything that's 60s cartoons. Music, you name it, you know, I grew up with that kind of stuff from my parents' culture.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I've pretty much brought that culture to the college too.
That's awesome. That was gonna be my next question, is how your peers, how receptive are they to the 60s stuff that you like?
Well, you know, I'll be honest, they don't really understand it, but hey, I don't care. You know, I like being myself. I like being unique. Yeah. You know, it confuses them, but it's in a good way because they're curious, you know?
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, not always they understand, but, you know, there's always room for education. Mm. And of course, they know Mike Nesmith because he's on like everything that I do. And they're like, who is that guy? It's like, that's my man. But it's one of the reasons why I like doing the radio show at the college is because I educate a lot of people about the Monkees. You know, some people just know them as a TV show, but you know, it's more than that. They're a band, you know, they've been in this, they've been in musical theater, they've been in that, you know. And it's interesting because a lot of the people, you know, at my radio station that I'm a part of, they're like, wow, really interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they either get it or they don't. But hey, whatever. My professors seem to like it.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the radio station. How did you get into DJing at the college? Is it the college radio station?
Yes, the college radio station.
Yep.
Well, I just did because I like radio. I'm friends with a couple radio DJs.
Okay.
I just wanted to try it out because I love music. I love collecting music. I have a whole collection of vinyls behind me. You know, it's pretty much, you know, my childhood, and I like vintage music. And there wasn't really any, shows that were dedicated to just old music. There was an 80s one, there was a 90s one, but there was never a 60s, 50s, and early 70s, which I like to talk about. And it's interesting because I really pushed for that.
Okay.
I pushed really, really hard for that show. And I have it every single week, and it's just a joy to do.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So did you get any pushback when you were pushing for it?
No, not really.
Good.
They were very, very open because I explained to them that it's more of an educational show for people who are curious about music. And it's also a show for people who want to learn about music too, you know? Because every single episode, I throw in a personal story of mine or someone I've met or an event that I remember from my mom showing me the group when I was younger. Or I just say how much I like this or an actual fact about the group, you know? So it's pretty much a love letter to why I like this decade of music.
Right. Now, as the sort of 60s ambassador at your college, have you made any converts?
You mean like people who are like, you know,
yeah, who didn't know anything about it and then you turn on to the 60s?
I don't know. To be honest with you, it's kind of like, you know, they get into it, but it's more of like through my artwork. You know, there's lots of times they see my artwork because we have to do a critique every week.
Right.
And they see, you know, my characters and they're like, oh, they're so cute, you know, especially with the figures and stuff that I did recently. They really want those. So I'm like, no. It's like, you know, from a show. And they're like, oh, really? That's so cool. But when I say the monkeys, they normally know Shrek.
Yes.
Right. And I go, valid, but no. Let me stop you right there.
Yeah. I would imagine for a lot of college age people today, Shrek was either when they were very, very young or before they were born.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because Shrek 2 turned 20 this year.
Wow.
And I already call myself an ancient dinosaur. But no, I normally say, you know, let me stop you right there. Here's the actual context. And when I say it's a Neil Diamond song, you know, I'm a believer. And they're like, who's Neil Diamond? But, you know, once I name like, you know, the Boston Red Sox and stuff, they're like, oh, yeah. So it normally it's a connection to another connection and then sparks something.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, I don't really care. I just, it's monkeys propaganda over at my college. I'm the voice of the monkeys at my college. And a lot of people seem to like it. You know, they're very curious. It's something new. It's something different. And it's like, they're like, what is this monkeys thing? I really like it. Mm-hmm. And, but it's mainly because of my artwork.
Yeah. So you do a lot of posting your artwork online. And have you gotten any feedback, positive, negative, from monkeys fandom generally across the internet?
Oh, yeah, totally. I was actually in an issue of Retro Fan last year.
Yeah.
And talking about my my various experiences with Nez and Mickey.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
And my artwork too. And I've been recognized as the Mike Nesmith girl. I'm sure you've probably seen my denim jacket that I've made.
Yeah.
So
now, have you got any negative feedback from fans online?
No, not really.
Good. That's excellent.
No, not really. It's mainly, I've actually never really gotten any negative comments out of all the 6 years I've been doing it. Nothing.
Excellent.
Monkeys fans tend to be pretty open and excited, but when anything they see anything monkeys, they just are just like, oh good, someone's doing something with the monkeys.
That's true.
I know.
Monkeys fans are just thrilled that someone else likes the monkeys.
No, I know. But no, actually no negative feedback. Out of all the 6 years I've been doing it, no, it's nothing but awesome positive stuff. And it inspires me more to come back the next time and go, hey.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite monkeys episode?
Ooh, I got a lot, actually. I got a bunch of favorites. I can say that the very first one that I ever saw that I liked was Hitting the High Seas, which was the very first one that I watched in its entirety. Mm. And I know it's a mic-less episode, but I just thought it was very charming. Mm. The very first time that I watched it, because I remember my mom trying to show it to me like way when I was younger, and I'm like, okay. But it didn't click until later. But I really like the pirate episode. I think it's really cute. It's really funny. It's silly. But I think my all-time favorite one would have to be either the Monty Landis one where he's the magician called Monkeys Blow Their Minds with Frank Zappa. I love that one so much. And I actually did a continuation of that for my cartoon series. Awesome. I gave him a son who is named Magnus, and he has magical abilities, but he's not a scam artist like his father.
Okay, nice. Cool.
But I like that episode, and I also like the one with Davy and his grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a real cute. It's a real tearjerker. I legit cried at that. I'm like, why am I getting so emotionally invested in this?
Right. So do you have a favorite Monkees album?
I have, as a fan, I respect all the albums, even the Pull It album, which is why I get so much hate. But I think the magnum opus of all Monkees albums is 2.
Okay.
Actually, it's a greatest hits album from like the 80s, which has like a number of selection of songs that I also replay nonstop. There's actually a tiny scratch in it already. But I think my all-time favorite is the Aquarius and Jones one. That is a excellent masterpiece album.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just hit after hit.
Yeah.
You can just leave it on in the background while you're cleaning and you're like, yes. I love this song.
Okay. And what about favorite Monkees song?
Well, Sunny Girlfriend, obviously.
Right.
I like Papa Jean's Blues because it has a very sentimental reason behind it, actually. And it's actually a really interesting story if you want to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, have you seen the pictures of me in the nudie suit?
Yes.
Do you know the story behind that?
I do not.
Oh, well, strap in. Well, basically, Papa Jean's Blues is iconic because of the, you know, the music video. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because at the Monkees Farewell Concert in 2021, well, I saw Nez previously on a Zoom call the year before, and we talked for like a whole hour and a half straight.
Wow. That's awesome.
And he was more interested in me than I was interested in him. He was asking about, like, I told him that, you know, I'm going to college, and he's like, oh, wow, fantastic. So he was interested in everything I had to say. I think he really knew that I deeply respected him and stuff like that.
Right.
But he sent me a little goodie bag of, because he was supposed to sign me one autograph, but he liked me so much that he gave me extra goodies in the package.
Wow.
And later I wanted to pay my respects because I love the man so much that at the farewell concert, I got second row seats and my seat was actually right next to his stool. And I said to mom that I wanted to recreate his nudie suit as a homage and a gift for him. Mm-hmm. And for 2 months straight, even when I had college exams, I worked like crazy to get it done. And it's interesting because you would not believe the reaction that he had when he saw me. He recognized me from a year before.
Wow.
And when he saw me in the audience, it was nothing but pure joy and admiration. And
that's adorable.
He like lit up, and I heard that he cried. He was so happy that he cried.
Wow.
And he yelled my name out into the audience.
And that's awesome.
I was like, oh. But I think he was more surprised than anything that he saw someone wearing the nudie suit. You know?
Right.
I don't think he's ever seen, I've been told he's never seen that before.
Oh, wow.
And he was just very taken back behind this huge, wonderful, beautiful gesture of love that I did for him. Yeah. And he's kept staring at me the whole night, and he kept smiling at me, and I was waving to him and he was waving to me. And it's interesting because during the intermission, their manager came up to me and he tapped me on the shoulder and he asked if I was Kit, and I said yes, and he presented me with this signed album.
Nice.
As a gift from Mike and Mickey. And he said that they're very impressed and humbled by your admiration and love for them. And he chose me out of a whole crowded theater to give this gift to. So I couldn't have felt more honored. And it's interesting because during Papa Jean's Blues, he looked at me and he winked at me, just like he did in the music video. Yeah. And I was like, ugh. And I was blushing so hard, and he saw I was blushing and he thought it was funny and he started laughing. So, yeah, he made me fall head over heels for him, but
well, that's awesome.
I felt like the most luckiest girl in the world that night. And that's it's a moment that I will cherish with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
And that nudie suit is something that I've worn a bunch of times. And when I got to see Mickey at Chiller Theater, because he went to a convention around me, I think a year after, and people recognized me from the nudie suit and they started hugging me. And you're like, you made me so happy. Thank you so much. You know, And I'm like, okay. And they're like, you made him so happy. You know, you don't understand how much happiness you gave him.
Wow. And that's awesome.
Like, oh, so the nudie suit that I made is pretty much a cultural symbol in the monkeys community, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, when you were speaking to Nez on the video call, did you have the opportunity to show him any of your artwork?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
He was extremely humbled by that. It was the early stages of when I started to like really conceptualize the cartoon series.
Right.
But I told him that I was working on a cartoon series, and he was absolutely excited and enthralled by it. And he especially liked the character that I'm pretty sure you see in a lot of the blonde.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lot of Kitty. He liked Kitty a lot, actually.
Now, I was going to ask you about Kitty because your name is Kit. And you're blonde.
Yeah.
Is that a coincidence?
Well, actually, it's interesting because Kitty is not really based off of myself. She's also based off of characters from the 1960s, like Betty from the Archies, Melody from Josie and the Pussycats, and Moses with her, because Kitty is a editorialist. She works at a magazine, and she follows the boys around on adventures to write for her teen magazine. So she's kind of a love letter to the culture and the different females of the 60s.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that is quite Anne Moses-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kitty's well known too, actually. You know, she's been around, I think, for the last 5 years.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
I've always she's pretty much a kind of like a special character to me because she also represents the admiration I have for Mike since, you know, she's his girlfriend in the series.
Right.
You know, everyone seems to like, you know, the little doodles I do of her.
Right. Now, I know it looks like, you know, from your artwork, you often will draw, for instance, Mickey with the curlier hair.
Yeah.
Do you ever draw Mickey with the straight hair, or do you like curly hair Mickey?
Well, I like curly haired Mickey the best.
Okay.
I just think it just screams Mickey, you know?
Absolutely.
I like him with the straight hair, but I just think that his personality is encapsulated through the curly hair.
Mm. Indeed.
But I also like his hair in the very rare instances where it's combed back.
Mm.
I never draw Davey with the long Velma hairstyle. that's not for me. I like him with the season 2 haircuts. I liked him with the season 2 haircuts.
Right.
I don't know. That's just me. That's just the design choice for me.
Well, I think they liked it better too. I think they had more creative control at that point in the show than they had in season 1, where it was basically, you know, do what we tell you to do. You
know? Don't cry there. Yes. But I like the curly haired Mickey the best. And I also have fun because I add like little squiggly strands of hair coming off his big meatball perm.
A meatball perm. I love that.
My professor is like, he has a big head of hair. I'm like, yeah, it's like the big meatball perm. A lot of the kids that have no idea what the monkeys is, they like Mickey because of just the funny, goofy facial expressions I give him.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it'd be great to do it as a cartoon series. Have you thought about doing it as like a comic book or a comic strip?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've seen a couple like comic pages I've done.
Mm-hmm.
So originally it was supposed to be a comic tie-in to an animated series.
Okay.
So you would watch. So the way that I envisioned it is you would see it animated, but you could also read like a separate adventure story through a comic.
Mm.
Okay. So if there was a solo adventure that one of them was going on, you could read that as a comic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or spinoffs or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You find out what Mike was up to during that pirate episode.
I actually did write a small story about that. He was on some kind of like mission over in England.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and lately you've been turning some of your artwork into merch.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. What is that process like, going from just drawing it to creating merch, and what kind of reception have you been getting to that?
Merch is always fun, you know? So I think, you know, I guess because merch has been on my mind for the last 5 years that I wanted to do. And I think because I've been going to like different little functions at the college, you know, one night they have button making and stuff. And I take advantage of the opportunities and I make stuff and I go, oh, I made a Davy button or a Kitty button or something with a cute little saying on it. And I'm like, I'm going to do more of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just kind of addicting right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know all too well.
But the reception is great. You know, they want the stuff, you know, I have a lot more planned actually.
Okay.
But you know, baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to rush into that kind of thing. Let it evolve naturally. But yeah, it's fun. We do puppetry. And so when we see someone like a Dragon Con and they've got one of our things on, it's like, it's exciting. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, that guy's got something I made. Like he's wearing it.
It's funny because, I've actually done a cosplay of Kitty before.
Okay.
Wow. And it's funny that people recognized her even when I did the cosplay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to a monkey's function and they immediately recognized who she was from the costume, which I did not expect. Yeah. So that really gave me the notion that, wow, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's plenty more merch I have in store. It's okay. Just, you know, I have to think about it. I always like to think about it and I go, oh, this is be a cool idea. And then I do a design over it or I do a craft of it. And I'm like, this is neat. But hey, you know, I do whatever makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important part is just to keep doing what you enjoy, because once you start doing it to make money, and that's the reason you're doing it, it just kind of loses its joy.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. I said, back when I was in high school, I did a mini documentary about myself when I was in high school about my artistic inspirations that I had at the time. And I stated that, you know, you never have to work a single day in your life if you do what you love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you said your senior thesis is coming up.
Yeah.
So what's the next step after that?
Well, I guess a lot of the times I'm focused in the now because, you know, I of course want to make sure that, you know, graduating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All that senior thesis, I know is going to be a boatload of work, but I'm ready for the challenge. I'm ready to tackle that. But I think what my dream aspiration for is after I get out of college, work on an animation studio, try to use the stuff that I've made and pitch it to a studio or someone that's interested, you know, because my professor said to me that there's great potential in the stuff that you've made. And he said, you know, just never stop doing it. You know, he said, never stop doing that dream. Never stop, you know, don't ever stop improving it and don't lose faith in it. You know, you know, sometimes it takes years for an idea to get off the ground, just like Phineas and Ferb, you know, that was supposed to be made in the 90s. And it didn't take until 10 years to get off the ground.
Right.
So sometimes it takes a long time for something to get off the ground. But, you know, I believe that it can get off the ground because it's a niche thing. It's very unique. And I strongly believe in it. You know, I very have a strong belief in it.
Yeah. And as well, you should. I mean, it's something we've talked about on the show before. The monkeys lend themselves very well to animation. I mean, in part because the late 60s were very colorful. and animation is very colorful. But also the monkeys in particular was almost like a live action cartoon already.
Yeah.
So I think it translates very well. It's, you know, there's sometimes you see or hear about a cartoon of something and it feels kind of forced. But the monkeys, it just feels very natural to see those characters in an animated setting. And I think, like you say, there's a lot of room in the monkeys universe to expand it and do some world building. I think that's really exciting.
The thing that I kept in mind while creating, because Beechwood is the world that they live in.
Okay.
And the thing that I kept in mind was, because sometimes cartoons aren't really faithful to their source material, as I've seen sometimes. But, you know, as I watch an episode, sometimes I sit down with a notepad and I take notes on like what I like about it. Is there a character that I want to bring back? You know, we don't know too much about this character. We should write more about this character. Does, you know, I'm sure you guys know Valerie's character of Toby.
Right.
And I made her come back in the cartoon series as Kitty's fashion designer. She does all the cute little groovy clothes that she wears. And she's kind of like her friend in Beechwood and they go to record stores together. So it's more of like working on the information we have and making them a full in-depth character. Mm-hmm. So I think about it in more of a professional studio level.
Okay. That's awesome.
So, which my professor wants us to thank for our.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where can people find more of you and more of your work?
Well, I have two Facebook pages. I have the Sunshine Factory, Sunny G's Sunshine Factory page, which is like my page for the radio show and any other groovy content that I create, and my main Facebook page. And it's interesting because I'm going to be writing articles for my college radio station pretty soon.
Oh, nice.
Part of this new thing that they just came up with, which is like a digital magazine. And I just got the okay to do 2 pages every month to do retro spotlight on anything. And you bet I'm going to do a monkeys page.
Absolutely.
So I'm busy with that. And, you know, I also have a tiny blog called the Sunshine Factory. Where I do like talk about cartoons, and it's funny because my radio show is called the Sunshine Factory too.
That's good.
Hey, but, got something that works. Use it.
Hey, you know, yeah. I'm trying to be an all-rounded individual.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah. And good luck with everything. Good luck with getting back to school. I know you're in spring break now, so I appreciate you taking some time out of your spring break to talk to us. But good luck on the senior thesis, and we'll keep an eye out for your artwork online.
Well, thank you so much. It was an honor to be with you.
All right. So, Chuck, do you have a You May Also Like for us this week?
I do. And this is a band that we've liked for a while and we've seen live, mm-hmm. But they seem to be on the rise. They were on the Tonight Show. They've got a new album on the way, and it's The Lemon Twigs. Now, Elaine, have you ever heard The Lemon Twigs?
No, I have not.
The Lemon Twigs are super fun. They're very late 60s and into the 70s inspired, but they do some really original stuff with the songs. We saw them here in Atlanta. Was it this year? Was it last? It was last year.
It was late last year, I think.
They're a band that we like. They've got singles coming out. As we're recording this, they have one coming out tomorrow, but they're in that lead up to the album where singles are coming out, mm-hmm. And they're a lot of fun. So yeah. If you like the music of the 60s or 70s, if you like Monkees type music, they don't sound quite like the Monkees, but the bands never do. I don't want someone to sound just like the Monkees. If you like that type of music, check out the Lemon Twigs, because they're a modern young band. We paid like $25 a ticket when we went and saw them, and we were right in the front. It's fun. It's fun to like a current band that, for one, is not charging you $300 to see them on their latest farewell tour, but also they're out there, they're on TV, they're got new albums coming out, they're mm-hmm. having concerts you can go to. It's fun to follow a current band. So if you know, like a lot of us, you like older music, this is a band that you may enjoy because they're doing new music that's very much in that vein. Mm-hmm. So check out the Lemon Twigs, and I think you may be pleasantly surprised by them.
All right, Elaine, where can people find more of you on the internet?
You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Monkeying Around. And we also on Instagram at Monkeying Around. Our email is monkeyingaroundpodcast@gmail.com. I am also at Elaine and Matt Watch TV, where I'm posting what we watch on TV.
And how about us, Chuck?
Feltnerdy.com.
And?
And you can follow Felt Nerdy on Facebook at Felt Nerdy, on YouTube at Felt Nerdy, where we have new videos coming out from time to time. But also, if you're into more adult puppetry or burlesque, that kind of stuff, you could follow Felt Nerdy and Dirty, which is the Felt Nerdy and Dirty Show. This is a show that we recently launched at the Red Light Cafe here in Atlanta, which went well, and we're planning to do again. So if you enjoy that sort of thing, you can follow Felt Nerdy and Dirty on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram. Warning, not safe for work, 18 plus. Don't
minimum.
Don't put it on the big screen anywhere if you if you're easily embarrassed, because it's very adult content, but it's fun. It's silly.
Yes. And nerdy.
Yes.
Yes.
As we do. Mm-hmm. And what else?
You can follow us at Earth Station Trek, our podcast about Star Trek, which is safe for work. If your boss doesn't mind you listening to Star Trek podcasts while you work. Earth Station Trek, where we go live on Thursdays talking about Star Trek. We'll talk about the latest Star Trek episodes, which we have some new ones coming up next month. But when there's not a new Star Trek episode, we talk about legacy Star Trek topics and interview fans and creators and things surrounding Star Trek. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You can follow that at Earth Station Trek on your favorite podcast platform.
All right. Thanks for monkeying around.
thanks for monkeying around with us. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and monkeyingaround.com.
I wouldn't be too happy about that. They'll be back.
But we won't!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.